welcome to MBA Podcaster, the only broadcast source for cutting-edge information and advice on the MBA application process. I'm Janet Nakano. Admissions deadlines are fast approaching, and while you may need to pick up the speed, you don't want to rush to the finish line. Your goal is to build the best possible application package, and that means covering all your bases. Have you written essays that are full of detail and free of errors? Properly addressed your weaknesses? Exhibited leadership skills and potential? This time, we want to help you create the killer application, one that will leave a lasting impression. You'll hear directly from top MBA admissions directors on what they look for in candidates, and you'll get several tips from an author of a guide on MBA applications. When reviewing applications, MBA admissions officers look at all the pieces, your GMAT score, academic record, essays, and so on. But one overarching theme they're evaluating for is fit. Without fit, even the brightest applicants can be rejected. So what does fit mean exactly? Ann Richards, Associate Director of Admissions at the Johnson School at Cornell University, answers that question.
Fit really means, are we going to be able, is my institution able to help this candidate achieve their personal and career and MBA objectives? So if a student, for instance, is looking to go into marketing, we have a really strong marketing program. That's one indication to us that they're a good fit. But we also look for other indicators. We're a very small school, very collegial, very team-oriented. And so as we read through an application, as we talk to students in an interview, we want to see that they're comfortable in that kind of environment. This is not the best environment for a student who wants to remain anonymous, somebody who wants to go to class, turn in their homework, and then disappear, because that doesn't happen in a small school, in a small environment. And so we look for that kind of indicator. I think from a student's perspective, fit is best assessed by actually visiting the school, meeting the students. What kind of vibe do they get? Do they feel welcome? Do they see themselves participating in the classes that they attend? Can they really envision themselves in that environment? And that really helps define fit. It is very, very difficult to define. And we had one of our students 2 years ago say, I didn't understand what fit meant until I came to the Johnson School. And I think that's what students realize when they visit particular schools. They either realize this is it for me, this is the fit, or yikes, this is not a place where I can see myself really growing and developing.
Your fit in a program will permeate through the rest of your application as well as the interview. So make sure you do your homework before choosing the schools you want to apply. Visit campuses, know the school's strengths, and speak with alumni. Writing killer essays are key to success. This is where your personality and passion come through, where you can demonstrate fit, and very often it's the first opportunity for an admissions officer to hear your voice, albeit through reading. Brandon Royal is author of the book, A Perfect MBA Application, 100 Surefire Tips to Get You into the Business School of Your Choice. He says a good essay is one that provides examples.
Now, most likely when you create your first draft of your essay, it will be full of generalities, and that's only natural. But the next step is to cement it with examples. So try imagining putting examples in the places where your essays would otherwise be left in the general. Now, here's maybe a few examples to cement this point. A candidate might say something like, growing up in the East and West, I experienced both Asian and Western points of view. Now, a reviewer's likely comment would be, do you mind telling me about those Asian and Western points of view? A candidate might write one of these, what we call the shopping list of traits. I'm an energetic, loyal, creative, diligent, honest, strict, humorous, responsible person. And the reviewer's likely comment, of course, would be, you know, do you care to develop your discussion by choosing two or three of these traits and supporting each with concrete examples? A candidate might write something like, not only did I develop important operational skills in running a business, but I experienced and witnessed the challenges that entrepreneurs face on a daily basis. Reviewers likely comment, what are these challenges? Now, there's one essay that's extremely important. It's basically ubiquitous across the whole MBA admissions process, and that is the career goals essay. It's the one where, of course, they ask you, what are your career goals? Where will you see yourself in 10 years, etc.? And I think this is an excellent place to start. There's something like 10 different types of essay questions. But this is the most fundamental because really even who you are depends on sort of where you're going. And one of the tips that I tell students about is, first of all, start here and write a goal statement. And a goal statement is an expression of where you'll be both long-term and short-term. And you want to be specific about your goal. So, for example, here's an example of a poor goal. My goal is to work for a multinational company and obtain an international position. Or sometimes people will write, my goal is to do something entrepreneurial and someday own my own business. So how do we make these things more specific? Well, the combination of your long-term and short to mid-term career goals should tell the reader very quickly in one or two sentences exactly what you're doing will be in terms of a functional specialization, an industry specialization, and an area specialization. So, for example, an example of a solid career goal statement would be this. My long-term career goal is to be a top marketing executive in the fast-moving consumer goods industry in Asia. My short to mid-term career goal is to pursue work with an international consulting firm and gain a specialty in consumer goods marketing. That above long-term goal statement tells us in just one sentence that the candidate you plan to work in the marketing area, functional specialization, to work in the fast-moving consumer goods field, industry specialization, and to work in Asia, which would be your proposed area specialization.
While it's true that many candidates want an MBA to switch into a new career, many aren't sure what that new career will be. But you still need to write that essay that reveals your plans for the future. What's important for this essay is that you demonstrate direction, says Beth Fly, Assistant Dean and Director of Admissions at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University.
If a candidate tells us in an interview and or writes in their essay that, hey, in 3.5 years, I would like to be a brand manager with XYZ Corp. There's not anything wrong with that. As opposed to, let's say, if a person says, I would like to work in marketing for a consumer goods company. One is a little bit more specific than the other, or a little more, defined. But what the two have in common, there's direction. Conversely, and I'm just giving a very polar opposite example. If someone said, I'm interested in consulting and nonprofit and investment banking and marketing in the healthcare sector, while that may be true, that would be a little concerning on our end just because it doesn't seem like this person has a direction or particular path that they would like to follow. So we don't expect someone to know exactly what they're going to be doing. But what we are looking for is someone who has direction and someone who seems to have demonstrated to us clear reasons for why they want to go to business school. Let's say if an applicant seems to be a little bit nebulous or somewhat uncertain related to his or her career goals, or what if this person, another applicant is looking at a particular career goal that is radically, radically different, and we may be asking ourselves on this end, wow, is that going to be a stretch? Will this person be at a disadvantage? For both of those, I would still ask, based on their background, everything in this application, coupled with a Kellogg MBA, is there good probability that this person will have good career options? And if the answer to that, in my mind is no, this could be, this person could really have a difficult time, then in fairness to the applicant, it would not be wise, to admit that person.
This is MBA Podcaster. Stay tuned to the rest of the program after a brief word from our sponsor.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
Most, if not all, business schools will be evaluating candidates for leadership. They want to see that you've made an impact, whether that's in your career, through extracurricular activities, or in your personal life. Demonstrating leadership gives the admissions committee a vision of your potential in their program. If you don't have many examples of leadership, Johnson School's Ann Richards says, start creating them.
And they need to think carefully about ways that they can do that. So, as they're sitting around at coffee with their buddies complaining about how they're all overworked, that candidate should try to develop a solution, propose some solutions to their supervisors. If they are participating in extracurricular activities, generate new fundraising opportunities, generate new ways in which that organization can continue its outreach or be more effective in the population that it's trying to reach or the education. You know, take risks, push themselves to get out there and offer solutions, generate opportunities.
Your academic record is what it is, and whether you're happy with it or not, the admissions committee will see it. So if you're weak in this area, Beth Fly says the best thing to do is give an explanation in the optional essay.
If their GPA, their undergraduate GPA, is not as competitive, let's say compared to the profile of the candidates coming into Kellogg, that person has an opportunity that they can tell us about that. And at the same time, we also encourage people we don't want people to make excuses, so to speak. We really appreciate honesty in the application and just being upfront. So if someone had too much enjoyment or worked too long part-time as an undergraduate, we want the facts, and the more information that we have about an applicant, ultimately the best decision that we're going to make. The other thing that is very helpful was, let's say a person has never had any quantitative coursework. And I like to think about quantitative courses like spinach, meaning you may not like the taste of it, but it is definitely going to be good for you, not just as an applicant, but also when you come into business school. So a person can, decide that, hey, I'm going to take a calculus class or I'm going to take a stats class, again, to make sure that I'm as strong as I can be, not just as an applicant, but I'm prepping to be as strong as I can be to become an MBA student.
Extracurricular activities demonstrate to admissions that you aren't one-dimensional, like someone that only excels in the workplace. Schools are looking for students that will be active on campus and contribute to their community after graduation. So what kinds of things can you list here? Brandon Royal says extracurricular activities can be broken down into 3 areas.
It's your community service, your extracurricular collegiate activities, and or your awards or recognition. Extracurricular collegiate activities are things you've done in college, and they wouldn't really extend past college. Your community service, on the other hand, could be it from college days or something you've done since college. And your awards or recognition can actually go back quite far. If something is truly impressive, like you won a regional guitar contest and it's from junior high school, some candidates would even mention it in this part of their application. Or if you have an award or recognition like a CFA or CPA, this would be the area you mentioned in. Now, one of the ways to make your presentation more impressive is, and generally you want to think about maybe 3 or 4 activities. I tell applicants 4 activities is what makes them full. So people try to figure out quickly whether they have the 4 things to mention in this area. And what makes them more impressive is to telling the committee what you learned or found important about the activity. Not just putting down the activity or the dates. and then leaving it there. So let me just give an example of what this might be. Say, for example, you were a member of the debate team at Arizona State University, and you mentioned the type of debate you participated in and the dates of some of the tournaments you either participated in or, better yet, won. Now, when you go into this, when you go in to present it, you know, you want a description and you want a summary, and then you want to add some of your own personal thoughts into it. Now, a summary starts getting at some of the detail. You might say, debate taught me four things: to organize and defend coherent arguments, to speak under pressure, to develop excellent research skills, to formulate strategies for beating tournament competitors. But just don't leave it there. Really think about each one of these events and say, what special thing did I take away from it? And you might put something like this down. Here's an example of what a candidate did. My time spent in debate taught me to develop affirmative and negative briefs to support and defend the resolution at hand. I learned to be ever mindful of the importance of anticipating both sides of an argument. For every argument, there is an equal and opposite argument. It is here that I gained my first real insights into an old tenet of philosophy: only through contrast do we have awareness. Now, when the committee reads something like that, and you've added that, and you weren't necessarily required to say what you learned or found significant about the activity per se, they're going to think, well, that's really a value-added kind of applicant. And they gave us an insightful thing that just other applicants don't do. So I really like to do that. Always embellish them and try to go that extra distance by saying what you found impressive or important about the activity.
If you don't have many extracurricular activities to list, and you have a good reason for that, such as a highly demanding job, you have the opportunity to explain it in the optional essays. And Richard says, think closely of ways you've been involved in your community, even if it's not necessarily the typical activities.
Maybe that's volunteering at their church. Maybe it's volunteering through their work environment, or even just helping their neighbors. What stands out as insincere is when someone has no extracurricular activities, no community involvement, and then in August of the year they're applying, suddenly there's lots of community activities on their resume. I would much rather see an application where a candidate says, I realize in reflecting on my strengths, I realize that I haven't been involved, and that's one of the things that I hope to address and strengthen through my application. To introduce me to this, I have started to volunteer at XYZ. But don't add, five different activities to your resume, because we don't think that, you're really adding much value to five different activities. But if you realize through the course of your application that this is a weakness, this area is lacking, you can begin to address that modestly, but I would admit to it also. You know, identify that as a weakness in your own personal development.
Richards says letters of recommendation should supplement the information that's included in the application. In other words, they should address strengths and achievements that are outlined in the resume or essays. Brandon Royal says a good recommendation is one that provides specific examples.
There are five things that are generally present in an outstanding letter of recommendation. One, the recommender mentions in what context he or she knows the applicant. Two, the recommender mentions what the applicant accomplished on the job or in school. Three, the recommender mentions how the candidate ranks in comparison to others. Four, the recommender mentions what he or she believes are the applicant's best personal and professional traits. And five, the recommender mentions one area of perceived weakness and or one area of needed professional, academic, or personal improvement. Okay, so on the point of in terms of specifics, these would be examples of things that you'd want to try to strengthen in your letter of recommendation. Say, for example, your recommender would otherwise write something like, I would particularly like to cite his originality and desire to innovate new systems and procedures. The reviewer's comment would be, what the admissions people would be basically saying, what were these systems and procedures? So unless there's a couple of paragraphs that follow that illuminate on what these systems and procedures are, this letter will be weaker than it would otherwise need to be. Sometimes you'll see things in recommendation letters such as, Judith also has a wonderful way with her coworkers and customers. And the reviewer is thinking, well, yeah, please give us some examples of how she's wonderful with her coworkers, customers. Can you cite a quote? Is there an example in particular that really illustrates this? So, again, we're looking for specifics. Or Judith not only exceeded her sales quota, but also became our regional expert on blah, 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 blah. And, of course, when she exceeded her sales quota, but how much is what we're really wondering about. And then, again, is just remind us, is that impressive to exceed it by this certain amount? And so, basically, when we step back is, a recommender can really only write a recommendation letter as good as the information they have about you. And one of the ways you can help give them better information about yourself is to always plan to write about a two-page summary letter in which you remind your recommender all about what you did on the job and the kinds of things that you'd like to see put into the letter. So what this really does is the recommender reads, of course, your two-page report that you give them. And then what they do is they often will funnel some of this detail into the recommendation letter. Okay, and sometimes the recommender will even let you have a chance to look at the recommendation letter. And again, one thing is if you ever have a chance to see one or, quote, coach your recommender, you always want to look in terms of detail. You know, is this really supported the way I think it's said? Don't want to leave things in the general. I want to find points to hammer away the detail.
Essays, letters of recommendation, examples of leadership, extracurricular activities. These are the ways you articulate to the admissions committee who you are. The key to creating a killer application is being able to do this well. Again, Ann Richards.
I think that the MBA application process is very introspective. It really forces candidates to think about themselves. And those candidates who stand out, really, it's clear that they know themselves well. They know their strengths. They know their weaknesses. They've taken steps to address some of their weaknesses, and they've really capitalized on their strengths. And that's one of the ways that I think students stand out. It's by being self-aware, by knowing what the program is looking for, what the school is looking for, and being able to say, you know, I can deliver that. I am multidimensional, or I do have strong leadership skills, or I will bring a unique attribute to your program. So there's no particular activity or accomplishment, I think, that I would say across the board will help somebody stand out. I really think it has to be personal based on their life experiences and what does make them unique. In what way can they really add a new dimension to the class or add value to the class or the school that they're considering?
I think that applicants sometimes fall into a trap of thinking, I need to write or I need to say what I think the admissions team at Kellogg wants to see or wants to hear, versus we want to know you. Tell us all about you in your own voice, in your own story.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
For more information, advice, and to register for your weekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Janet Nakano for MBA Podcaster. Listen next time for another topic to help you succeed in your MBA application process and life beyond. Thanks for joining us.